everyone. Welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. We are so excited to be back to regular services. Our 8:30 crew was so happy to have their service back this morning, and we are thrilled to have you guys here at the 10:45 service. And those of you joining us online, welcome to Second B2. We are so glad to have you part of our service. If you're visiting today, thanks for checking out Second B. There is a way for you to let us know you were here. There's a little barcode on the back if you want to scan that and just tell us you were here so we can say hello. We'd love to do that with you. A few things you guys might want to know about. We're back to regular schedules here at the building. This Wednesday night, we'll have dinner at 5 p.m. out here in the Grand Hall. You can register online and sign up in your classes as well. Also, there's a blood drive this Wednesday. So if you haven't gotten a chance to sign up for the blood drive, I know Judy Darnell would love to hear from you. You can call the church office and get signed up for that. This coming weekend, leaving on Saturday, our youth are leaving for a youth retreat. So if your student would like to attend the youth retreat and they haven't had a chance to sign up yet, there's still plenty of time. They'll be leaving on Saturday morning and we'll be hanging out in Possum Kingdom for the weekend. A great chance for them to get to know Josh, our new youth minister, and spend time with Maddie and Jordan. And I get to be there this time, so we are excited to spend time with our students next weekend. Also, the following Monday, the 16th, you guys are all invited here to a concert, Dueling Pianos. David Cho and Larry will be playing piano music in our Sunday school class today. They wanted to know if you're going to be taking requests. I know they have quite a set list planned already, but we're very excited about this, Larry. So please come back on the 16th at 7 p.m. for that piano concert here. Today is a communion Sunday, and we will be bringing communion to your seats. And at Second B, it's open communion. So if you'd like to participate, we'd love to have you join us at the table this morning as well. Now let's just take a moment. Take a breath with me. Let's prepare ourselves for the worship service today. The Lord be with you. And now I invite you to stand with me for our call to worship this morning as you're able. The voice of God prods our hearing.
The activity of God stretches our
sea. Together they invite us down into the waters of life where the Spirit flows.
Thank you. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we come before your throne of grace, not trusting in ourselves, but in your marvelous and gracious love as it seeks expression among us. May we listen for your still, small voice as it speaks to us today and as it boldly proclaims the undeniable reality of your love that will not let us go. Stir our hearts and our imagination that we may see beyond appearances of what is to what the reality of what can be. We ask this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, all to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Personal word to Holly and Rhonda and Carter and Alex. We are just grateful and honored to be church family with you and to you, church. This is part of your baptism. You're your investment spiritually into this family, as well as your ability to allow this family to be church family to you. What a day to celebrate. As we prepare to celebrate God's presence in your life, Alex, church, would you join me? The work of Jesus began with her baptism, so our work as disciples of Christ begins there too. Today we present to you Alex Shortburrows, who has acknowledged Christ as Lord and Savior. We affirm her as our sister in Christ and remember of this church family. Lord, your joy is our joy
as this family is renewed at the waters of baptism.
And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him.
You may be sure that everyone who does right has been born of him. See what love the Father has given us, for we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is, and all who have his hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure.
How are you? You good? I am so proud to introduce you all to Alex Shortburrows, if you don't know her already. I would have to say that Alex is probably one of the most kind children I've seen grow up in our children's department, and now she's in our youth group. Alex plays basketball and softball, and she travels competitively, and she's quite competitive here at the church too, and I enjoy a little bit of competition with you. Alex is a good leader in our children's program. She and her brother Carter have grown up here, and I couldn't be more honored to do this baptism with you today because I have loved watching you grow. I love your family so very much. You guys mean very much to me, and this is a huge honor for me. Alex, do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's get you ready. Then I am so very proud to baptize you as my little sister in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ through baptism, and raised Alex to walk in a whole new life. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you. Good job. You can stand.
Baptized in water, sealed by the Spirit, cleansed by the blood of Christ our King. Heirs of salvation, trust in his promise.
Now I'd like to invite the rest of our boys and girls to come down to the front. Would you guys join me down here for children's time? There's so many of you back today. I'm so glad to see your faces. Welcome back. There's still room right here, girls, right here. Come on, Maisie. Come on, Darcy, right down here. Perfect. Eva, right here next to Hadley. You want to sit right there in between? There we go. You want to sit right there? Right here, girls? Perfect. Okay. How is everyone? Did you guys have a great week?
Yes.
Welcome back. I'm glad you're here. I've missed a lot of your faces because you've been doing Christmas and New Year's and traveling and busy, and now you're here, and I'm so glad to have you back. I want to try something with you guys today. Let's play a game for a minute. Will you close your eyes? Okay, now, while your eyes are closed, I want you to walk into your kitchen, okay? Pretend that you're walking into your kitchen and look at your refrigerator, but don't open it, okay? Just look at the front of the refrigerator. Do you see it? Look, do you see? Okay, open your eyes. Did anybody see anything on their refrigerator?
No.
Is anything on your refrigerator?
Magnet.
magnets. Okay, good, good. That's good. Anything else on your refrigerator? Johnny, what's on your fridge?
A poop.
Some pictures, maybe?
No.
No? Diapers. Okay, maybe you have to put those there because you need space. What else is on your refrigerator, Graham?
Pictures.
Pictures? What kind of pictures?
Like pictures of travels.
Okay, pictures. Are you in any of those pictures?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Eva, what's on your fridge? And pictures, okay. And Hadley, what about your fridge? What's on your fridge?
We have pictures of me and Hux.
Definitely pictures of you and your brother. Does anyone on your fridge have maybe a picture that you drew? Yes? Is there a picture on your fridge? Not, yes? Okay. Okay, good. Hazel drew a picture on the fridge. So why in the world would your parents put a picture of something you drew on the fridge? Why would they do that, Graham? Why? Why did they put the picture up there?
Because most of the time you go there to get your food and they'll be able to see it all the time.
Oh, exactly. And when your mom goes to the fridge to get a drink and she says, oh, Graham and Hudson drew that sweet picture. I just love. Does she do that every time she gets a drink out of the fridge?
No.
I bet she thinks it. I bet she does. Yes. Because your parents are so very proud of those pictures. Don't you love to hear your parents say, I am so proud of you. Do you know that I am 48 years old and I still want to hear my parents say, Cheryl, I am so proud of you. It's what our parents do. They build us up and they know because we are their pride and joy. And in our Bible story today, we know Jesus, right? And Jesus is being baptized. And when Jesus is being baptized, we hear the voice of God, right? Jesus is Heavenly Father. And do you know what God says when Jesus comes out of the water? God says about Jesus, this is my son, and I am so very proud of him. And guess what? Because each of you was created in God's image, guess who's proud of you?
God,
because you are the image of Christ, and God is your heavenly Father, and Jesus is so very proud that you were born and that you are you, and it makes us feel good to know that someone is proud of us. And that's why those pictures are hanging on your fridge, because your parents don't want to forget how awesome and how cool you are because they are proud of us. Let's pray for a minute before you guys go back to your parents or to preschool praise. God, we thank you. We want to make you proud. And these children, we know, Lord, make us proud each and every day. Thank you for the joy that they bring to our lives. Thank you for Alex and her huge step to want to show us that she loves you too, and we know that she is making you proud today. God, be with these children. Help them to grow and to know and to share your love. In your most holy name I pray, amen. Okay, if you're going to preschool praise, we'll walk back this way with Miss Donna. Otherwise, you can sit with your folks.
The Hebrew scripture for today comes from Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 9. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisoners who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters and friends, as Alex has reminded us today, may you also remember your baptism. May you be cleansed. May you feel joy. May you celebrate the healing power of the waters of life. May the baptism of Christ remind you of your baptism always. Stand as we continue to worship.
Jesus shall reign with the sun. Does its successive journeys run? His kingdom spread. Till moon shall wax and wane no more.
The gospel lesson for today comes from Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Happy New Year to you. What a joy, a gift, an honor it is to gather with you for worship. Your presence, your voice, your song is a primary way that we know that Christ is risen, that Christ is Emmanuel here with us. If there's any way that we can follow up or connect with you or be of help, particularly if there's a way that we can pray for you, we invite you to use those cards as they're available in the seat backs in front of you. Unless you're in the Sea World splash zone, then they'll be behind you. Have you heard the one? About Jesus and John the Baptist when they go into a bar? Some of you are lying, but Jesus and John the Baptist were going to this bar in kind of like the front of the church house. It had, you know, like double doors. You know, I know you haven't been to many, but sometimes they have double doors in the front, and so Jesus goes to the door and opens up the door and says, "After you, John the Baptist." And John thinks about it for just a moment and goes to the other door, just opposite of Jesus, and opens up the other door. So the two are standing there with two doors wide open, just like they are into the kingdom of heaven. And John the Baptist says to Jesus, "No, Lord and Savior of all, after you." And Jesus looks at John and says, "You know, I'm the Messiah, the Christ, the Holy One. after you, John. And John says to Jesus, well, I can't go into this establishment. I'm Baptist. And seemingly in the initial reading of this gospel lesson, there is this southern chivalrous battle. And we won't tarry here long today, but there is this deep sort of current in our culture that the greatest of all virtues is to be nice. To be nice is not listed amongst those fruit of the Spirit as we receive them in our sacred text. To be nice might be provide fun banter. To be nice might make us good Southerners, although there's legitimate theological, political, and sociological debate as to whether or not Texas is part of the South. But to be nice, I don't think is really what's happening here between this dialogue between Jesus and John the Baptist at this baptism of the Lord. And further, I do think that there are times in which this cultural value to be nice actually impedes the work that the Spirit might be about in our world. It's interesting, though, it maybe even seems somewhat illogical that John the Baptist would suggest to Jesus, because of what John believes about who this Jesus of Nazareth is, it seems initially logical that John would suggest to Jesus that John would first receive baptism from the Christ. And yet this reversal, I think, is incredibly theologically and spiritually important for us to note. John the Baptist at this time, like many other Jewish rabbis, teachers, and reformers, was traveling about teaching and encouraging and baptizing. And the baptism of the first century Palestine at this moment is really a baptism of forgiveness. John was practicing a baptism of forgiveness such that an individual may have occasion to return to said baptism, seeking again and again this process of ongoing forgiveness and cleansing. And when Jesus refuses, when Jesus first refuses to baptize John first, I think what Jesus is suggesting is an entirely new concept for baptism. If Jesus were to accept, if Jesus were to baptize John, I think Jesus would be concretizing this concept that baptism was for cleansing. Rather, as we have read and received wonderfully through the words of Avery, thank you so much for reading scripture this morning. We truly appreciate your voice. We read that Jesus receives the baptism of John, and at that baptism, the voice of the Lord proclaimed above all creation, saying, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." The commenter here, occasionally, when considering Scripture, occasionally we might ask, what is not being said here? The heavens open up and the voice of the Lord is heard by all within earshot of grace. And the voice of the Lord does not say, you are forgiven of all wrongdoing, at least until you commit wrong again. The voice of the Lord does not say, you are forgiven, you are cleansed. The voice of the Lord proclaims an identity that is first and truer. And even before any need for forgiveness, this is my beloved, my child, in one whom I receive pleasure. And I believe that Christ, by receiving the baptism of John, the voice of the Lord being proclaimed at this moment, takes the baptism of John that exists in this capacity and it expands. Time and time again, I believe this is evident in the teaching and in the ministry and in the life of Jesus, taking our experience with reality and it expanding. which I think is an encouraging word for you as you go about your life in your this week. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is active in our world and in your world, taking your experience with reality and expanding it. As Avery read for us earlier, the Lord is doing something new. Elsewhere in the Psalms, it says the mercies of God are new each and every morning, taking this experience of reality and expanding it. Meister Eckhart, one of the mystics of our Christian tradition, coins the phrase conscientious enlargement, which I believe is what the Christ does throughout his ministry and teaching. Takes our minds, takes our consciousness, and enlarges it to a world that says baptism is about forgiveness. Christ, in the voice of the Lord, says, oh, no, no, no. There is so much more. We spent the last couple months as a family trying to instill a truth amongst our children, and we have failed miserably, but there's always next year. A truth present in the story of Christmas, and it is a truth that to give is better than to receive. Yes? A beautiful reality, really a definition of ministry in and of itself. One definition of ministry might be to give or to serve is better than to receive. And I believe here at the baptism of Jesus, And our God is big enough and mysterious enough, God beyond God, as Eckhart calls our God. Contradiction and paradox can be true in the presence of God at the same time. I think that here at the baptism of Jesus, the text, as well as the voice of God, is suggesting the exact opposite of that Christmas truth. A Christmas truth, of course, it says it's better to give than to receive. And yet the text here, I think, is saying the exact opposite. All the Southern chivalry suggests John should walk through those doors first. And Jesus says, no. Taking conventional wisdom and flipping it about. I believe that the baptism here, by Jesus receiving baptism first, by expanding the consciousness of baptism, Jesus is saying, at least for a moment, unlike the truth of Christmas, Christ is saying, it's good to receive. It is good to receive. And I believe this is deeply countercultural to what our world says, right? Achieve. You can do it. Work hard. And of course, many in this room, if not all, have achieved and have done well, and you have earned rightfully so much. And yet the spirituality here of the baptism of Christ says there's nothing to earn. There's nothing to achieve. There's nothing to give. Just receive. I'm so grateful for Pastor Cheryl and her wisdom shared last week, and her ministry and Epiphany. As I was thinking about Epiphany and admiring these livestock that continue to just move about our sacred space, this year, Joseph sort of embodied to me Clark Griswold, Chevy Chase, real nice. Thought about Joseph, Mary receiving these incredible gifts of the Magi. And maybe me, like Joseph, was thinking at least this year, receiving these incredible gifts. I wonder if Joseph was thinking, how am I going to carry this stuff back? I wrote this sermon a couple weeks ago before Christmas. And what I was doing during that time is has become a bit of a tradition in our family. One of the few things I'm capable of doing is packing the car for a road trip. And so I was getting ready to pack our car, and we were going to visit on this occasion Allison's family for Christmas, and they're so incredibly generous people. And so what we do, we've sort of created this liturgy, this sacred practice in our life as we head to Christmas, which is often on Christmas Eve, a night after services. On this occasion, it was on Sunday afternoon. What I was doing packing the car is what we always do, is we put all the stuff, all the food in our car. And we are just so generous people. Do you know, we bring Christmas gifts to her family. And sometimes we're so generous. We buy gifts that are so nice and so big, we have them shipped there. Pro move. But what we've begun to do each and every holiday season is we pack all this stuff in our car, food, clothing, our luggage, and the Christmas gifts that we are so generously bringing to our outlaws, in-laws, family. But then on the roof of our car, we have this little roof rack. And we put on this roof rack a 1982 Sears cargo carrier. You know what a cargo carrier is? It's very Chevy Chase. And what's so interesting is we have gotten in this habit in which we're traveling to Christmas with a car full of luggage and food and gifts, and the cargo carrier on the roof rack of our car is empty. Because I'm planning on getting more than I'm bringing. Which I think, at least for a moment, is one thing that we might be able to count on in the presence of the Holy Spirit, is that we are invited to receive far more than we can ever bring to the table. In a world that says it is best to be nice, I believe the Christ says there is so much more to life than being nice. In a religion that at times can be so distracted with the need for forgiveness, I think that the baptism of Jesus, that the voice of God resounding from the heavens says there is so much more than forgiveness. The baptism of Christ, I believe, if we might allow ourselves to do it, we might receive those very same words, that God sees you, that God smiles and desires not for you to give a thing, but God desires for you to receive these very words. You are my beloved child, and in you I am well pleased. In the name of the Creator Christ and Holy Spirit, we pray for God's wisdom, not mine. Amen. I invite you to stand as we continue to worship. Transport of delight.
you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for our health, our freedom, and our many blessings. As we share those blessings with Second Baptist, we ask that you give Jake and Cheryl, all the team here, the wisdom to use those blessings to their utmost. Father, we all come here with an ask. Today, I would ask that you particularly bless those in the Pacific Northwest. I'd ask that you bless the families of David Sharbutt, Terry Hawkins, and Brian Smitherman. Father, we would ask that you help us be nice to receive and to forgive. It is all so fragile. I'd ask that you, like it says in Isaiah, to teach us to run and not grow weary. And Father, if it be your will, we'd ask that you give us the strength to do your will to the end. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Would you pray with me as we were taught? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You can be seated. I'd like to take a moment to thank you for your generosity. On Wednesday and Thursday of this week, I was down in Piedras Negras, Mexico, and was able to share with Primera Iglesia Bautista and Pastor Israel Rodriguez your generous Christmas Eve offering of nearly $5,000. Is certainly a generous gift, and our relationship continues to be one that I believe is mutually beneficial. I would encourage you as you celebrate communion today, and as you celebrate communion around your table at home this week, your generosity will feed about 200 people and house about 200 people for about the next 2 months. And a lot of that will take place in a kitchen that you all helped build and help provide just some few months ago. And those individuals will sleep on beds that you all provided just some few years ago. And so I encourage you, as you receive bread and cup throughout your week, maybe this communion table will be expanded to include our brothers and our sisters and our neighbors there in Piedras Negras. We invite all today to the table of Christ, who has extended that invitation to the whole world. What a joy and a gift and honor it is to share in the table together. In just a moment, our deacons will come down the row, and we invite you to take bread, and we invite you to take drink. And if you would, hold on to it, and we'll all receive together in just a moment.
Thank you.
Body of Christ, broken and shared with the world. As the yeast expands, may the presence of Christ expand within you and within our world. Take and eat. The very first miracle of Jesus in the Gospel of John suggested that the more we share, the more there is, as it is with the lifeblood of Christ, shared for the sake of the world, receive the blood of Christ. If you'd like some more, I have some extra. You're welcome to it. I invite you to stand and joyfully share in the peace of Christ. Peace be with you. Sorry. Ever-expanding body, blood, and baptism of Christ be with you and give you life today and forevermore. Go in peace.